head of the husband. So because the husband is a head of the household, we're not talking about abilities here. We're talking about roles. Your role is to submit to your husband, just as Christ submits to God. So we look at some reasons. One of them we just read on Ephesians is because God told us to. God told you to, right? God told us in Ephesians, wives, submit to your husband. That's obedience. If you do that, you're being obedient to God. Number two is to respect the husband. Now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, and we'll look at verses 1, 5, and 6. Peter expounds on why you should submit. First Peter is a little harder to find. I'll give you more time. Want me to tell you another joke? No. Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that if any do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. So even without a word, they might be brought over, your lost husband might be brought over by, pardon me, by your conduct, by being submissive. Verse 5, he says, for in this manner, talking about braiding your hair and wearing fine gold and all that kind of distractions. But he says, for in this manner, in the old times, the holy women who trusted in God, and you might want to underline that, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Wow, how... Hey, Carol. You are her children as long as you do right and are not afraid with any terror. So, being submissive to your husband is obedience to God and also shows respect, as Sarah showed respect to Abraham. Another reason is because when you are married, God says that you become one flesh. You are bound together. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Back the other direction. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll look at verse 3 through 12. He says, but I have you know that the head of the woman is a man, and the head of every man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. You see, there's an intentional hierarchy that God has set forth in the marriage here. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that's the same as if she were shaved. But if a woman is not covered, let her also cut off her hair. But it's a shame for a woman to have her hair cut off or shaved to be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head because of the image and the glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man, and the man is not from the woman, but the woman from the man. The man was not created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this reason, The woman ought to have a veil of authority over her head because angels. Nevertheless, neither is it man without the woman, nor the woman without the man in the Lord. Just as the woman came from the man, so the man comes through the woman, but all things come from God. So the Bible talks about the covering of the head, and in the tradition in that culture, it was the women were supposed to cover their head in worship, and the symbol thereof is the woman showing that the man, her husband, being in authority over her. So that it is identifying with her husband and showing her submissiveness to her husband. So when the man and the woman walked in and her head was covered, that was a symbol of submission to her husband. That's the whole head covering thing. I've heard preachers use this verse out of context and say, "See, all you women are sinning. You don't have coverings on your head." And that is not true. That was just the culture back then, and it was a symbol of submission. But the idea is that the woman is not of the man, and the man is not of the woman. You are together. In Genesis, God says, you know, "I have created Eve from you, and you are of one flesh. So you know, and let no man take asunder, no man separate what God has put together." And so you are no longer you are her husband. You are no longer you are his wife. And the two of you are equal together. It's just like when Carol and I first got married, we sat down and I said, "Okay, Bible says submit, so get started." Actually, what we said was, what I told her was, you know, "I am the head and I make the final decisions. We are on a ship, we are on this ship together. You know, I'm not going out on a dinghy by myself, and you're not going out on a dinghy by yourself." You know what a dinghy is, right? A little subship. "We are in this together. And I will be the captain of this ship, but you are my first mate. And I rely on your input. And we discuss this together. I am not a dictator, I am the captain. And so together we will sail this ship to the destination that we desire." And it is under that idea of submission. So she's my first mate. She's still my first mate. And I still listen to her sometimes. Sometimes I should listen to her more. So the woman is to submit out of obedience to God, to respect the husband, and because you're bound together, you're one flesh. Another reason is because, remember, it was Eve who was first deceived. Let's go to 1 Timothy 2:9. 1 Timothy 2:9. If I can find it. There it is. 1 Timothy 2:9. "In like manner also, that women clothe themselves in modest clothing with decency and self-control, not with braided hair, gold pearls, or expensive clothing, but with good works which is proper for women professing godliness. So she is to be submissive. Oh, and let women learn in silence with all obedience. I do not permit a woman to teach or to usurp authority over a man, but to be silent. For Adam was formed first, and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into sin. Yet she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, holiness, and self-control. So it shows because Eve was deceived that God had ordained the woman to submit to man rather than man submit to the woman. That's why he ordained man to be head over the woman, was because Eve was deceived. Now we can kind of hypothesize that if Adam was doing his job, which I kind of wanted to get into later, Eve probably wouldn't have been deceived, but we'll address that later. So this is kind of where I get in trouble when I start expounding on the roles of a man and a woman. And like I said, if I don't offend you in this, come up afterwards and I'll see what I can do. I'll make it up to you. It is my belief this society started declining when feminism became on the rise. Back in the 50s, remember, the woman's place was in the home. She was to take care of the family, and the father was to do the work. And we had, you know, back in the 50s, a divorced woman was looked on very negatively. But in the 60s, feminism took hold in the country, and they basically said, "You're better than that. You don't deserve to be held up in the home. You have so much potential. And that man, he's no better than you are. You need to go out and express yourself and get a career and make them as much money as him. You are equal as that man." That was a very deceiving thing that was brought about in the 60s. And if you notice, it was after that, the woman did go out of the house. Divorce became more prevalent. Women became more interested in her career than she did the family. The breakdown of the family really started happening at that point. You started seeing two income households where the kids were left to themselves. They called them latchkey kids. And it became a dangerous situation where kids were left alone for hours on their own because the dad was out there making a career for himself, the mother was out there making a career for herself, and the family suffered. And even today, we see the results of that, don't we? Where the family nucleus almost doesn't exist anymore in our culture. It is very rare that we have the mother staying home taking care of the kids and the father out there making the money and bringing home the necessities. You know, the Bible, the very beginning, God told Eve, you know, your position, your role is childbearing, right? And he gave Adam the position, his role was to go out and work. And because of the curse, you're not only going to just work, but I'm going to make it hard for you to work. And we're going to go into that. So when women left the house and started looking for careers. We started seeing society fall. Next we saw prayers taken out of school. We saw Bible, the so-called separation of church and state. And we saw the increase in Darwinism being taught rather than creation, evolution. And we just slowly, little by little by little, because of the decision of the woman to leave her role that God has assigned her to. See, that's what happens when we try to think that this is going to be okay. No matter what temptations come across us, our first thought is, it's just a little thing. It's going to be okay. There won't be any repercussions, but there are, aren't they? We see that prevalent today. And when the woman left the home, she also left the umbrella of protection from Satan that her husband provided and exposed her to more temptations and more dangers that Satan can throw at her. So there is a reason for a woman to submit to the man and maintain the role in the family that God has designed. Now, a caveat with that is, okay, that's a good idea, but my husband beats me, or he verbally abuses me, or he is terrible to me and my children. Name that tune. So am I supposed to stay in the family and submit to a man like that? I'd say no. And I'll explain why later. But in those circumstances, when there is abuse, you need to leave. You need to find someplace safe. And you need to get counseling. You and him both need to get counseling. And I'm not promoting divorce, but I am promoting separation until he can get himself squared away and right with God and be the man of God that God wants him to be. But as long as there is not that, God has placed you in the role to be submissive to the husband. So that's enough for beating up on the women. I'm sorry for the choice of words. But that's enough for getting on women. We have a temptation of saying, see, that's the whole world's problem. The woman just disobeyed God and is not submitting to me. Well, along comes, back to Colossians chapter 3, and Paul, chapter 3 and verse 19, and Paul says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, and giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace. Husbands, love your wives. There it is. Husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So my question to you ladies is, if you had a husband, and for brevity I'll just paraphrase some verses. If you had a husband who loved you and respected you and was ready to die for you and was a godly man, would you be willing to submit to him? Much more. You see, husbands really seek out respect. The men really seek out respect. Respect is one of the greatest attributes that we seek after. We even at work, if we're given a title with no raise, we'd be happy with that because it shows that we have respect in what we're doing. But respect is something that we need to earn. In the military, we're taught to respect our superior officers. And in showing to doing that, we have to salute them and we have to obey their orders. And they teach us that it is not the man that we respect, it is the rank that we're respecting. Well, I'll tell you, there are some officers I did not respect. But if I did not salute him, I was liable to for a fine and or jail time for being insubordination. Thank you. For being insubordinate, I could go to jail and get a fine for not saluting the officer or for not obeying an order. But that's what we're taught. As soon as we get outside into the civilian world and we get a real job, that changes. All of a sudden, we only respect our bosses who deserve the respect. I've had both. I've had a boss that sat right next to me and worked with me and helped me as much as I could, and I respected him. I had another boss that sat right across from me and stared at me while I tried to work, you know, and be a micromanager. I did not respect him. Respect is something we earn, not something we get. And in order to get the respect and the submission that we desire from our wife, we have to earn it. Okay? We have to love her and respect her and be willing to die for her as Christ died for the church. So as much as we like verse 18, we also have to confront verse 19. We have to also provide for our families. James tells us that, or 1 Timothy tells us that if a man does not provide for their family, they are worse. In the King James Version, they call him an infidel. In another version, they call him an unbeliever. So, not providing for your family is worse than unbelief. That's what God says. It puts shame on your family. And I'll tell you, if you expect your wife to sit around and watch you sit on the couch and watch TV, watch baseball, and not provide for your family, she's not going to do it. She's going to get up, and she's going to find a job, and she's going to provide, because she doesn't want her family to be out in the street and hungry, just because you don't feel like getting up and working. Will it work? Sometimes it works, but there's a side effect, and that is resentment and anger that she can have for the husband because he refuses to fulfill his duties as a man. Another way that a man earns respect for his family is God has called you to be a spiritual leader. If you're not praying for your family, if you're not leading them in Bible studies, if you're not discussing God and his plan for you and for the family, you know, together, how are they supposed to learn about God and their roles? We as men are going to be accountable to God if we don't fulfill those responsibilities. Now, does it mean that we're going to go to hell if we don't? No, that's not what it means. It means you're going to be accountable in the Bema seat of Christ when we're resurrected. God is going to hold us accountable of how we treated our family. And he gives us, if our family, if anything happens that falls apart in our family, we as men are accountable for that. Because we're either not providing, we're not protecting, and we're not leading, and we're not teaching. We as men ought to be on our knees every night praying for our family and for God's guidance on how we can best fulfill the roles that he has given us. Now the rest of Colossians chapter 3, it talks about, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey the masters in all things according to the flesh, serving not only when they are watching as servants of men, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. So whatever you do, servants, you can relate to as an employee at a job. Don't do it for the employer, do it for God. And whatever you do, do it heartily for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive your reward for the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will receive the wrong for the wrong which he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give to your servants that which is just, fair, knowing that you have a master in heaven. So Paul is just giving advice on the rest of it, is on being fair to the rest of the family. Don't exasperate your family. Don't expect things from, if you're an employer, don't expect things and treat your employees terribly. But I really wanted to focus on the male and female role and the husband and wife role. And I know it's old-fashioned idea, but it is not my idea. It is what God has ordained. It is what God has put together, and is what God expects of us. He expects the wife to submit to the husband. He expects the husband to love and honor his wife, and he expects the children to obey the parents. He expects the husband to care for, to provide for, to lead, and to protect. And if we all did that, what a better society, what a better world we would be living in, right? There wouldn't be the mess, there wouldn't be this identity crisis anymore. What are they? I think I've seen there's as many as 42 different sexes now. It's crazy. There is none of that. You know, God created man and he created woman. He created male and he created female. And he created the roles for each of them. And if we obey him and we follow those roles, you know, study the word, pray every night, God, how can I improve on my role and be the godly man that you expect me to be and be the leader of my family? How can I lead my family to be closer to you? We did that as men, we would have a much better society than we do. Let us close. Father, we thank you that you are not the author of confusion. You created man, you created woman, you created male, you created female. You did not make any mistakes. We who are men are men, and we who are female are men. or female. We thank you that we've given this opportunity to be able to have a picture of your grand plan, Lord, that the woman is to submit to the man, and the man is submit to Christ, and Christ submits to God. What a beautiful picture that you give us of what we can expect when we meet you, that we as a bride will be able to submit to you, will submit to you. And you as the husband will be submitting to God. It's a perfect picture. That's why we need to obey you, because the roles that you've given us here are also the roles that we'll have in him. Help us to be cognizant of that and reminded of that. And Lord, we just pray that you'll just be with us. Give us the courage to have the burden, the desire, the will, the wisdom, and the knowledge to live a family relationship and the roles that you have for us. Forgive us, Lord, when we have not. Help us this week to be in the roles that pleases you. We cannot do it in our own power, but only with your power of the Holy Spirit that resides in us. Please teach us through your Spirit, and may we do so to glorify and honor you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.